Mr. Clarkson, reel 44.
You wouldn't believe the differences between Gibraltar and Malta. Gibraltar, ooh, snobbish. Dockyard. All dockyard officials and that sort of thing. Malta, free and easy, everybody. But where else was it now? We're talking about the attitude of the civilian white population or the English population. Now, where else was it we... Bermuda, again? Place
white,
like that?
Yes, white population again.
Oh, it didn't want anything to do with their shopkeepers and dockyard people again. They didn't want anything to do with the Navy. You always felt as if you belonged to a criminal section, the way they treated you.
And in that sort of situation, what about the Spaniards, say, at Gibraltar? What about the non-dockyard people? You know, the local people, the proper local people, as opposed to the colonial.
No.
Did you have anything to do with them at all?
No. You never saw a family, a Spanish family, for instance, entertaining a British matlow. Never. I can't think of anywhere. The place there was mentioned in there, the place there was in America, all the way up there, they did give us a good time, there's no doubt about it, and they seemed anxious to meet you and to take you home. Now, that was a great thing, is to take you home to their homes and make you welcome there, even if it's only for a cup of tea or something like that.
Whereas not the case elsewhere. I mean, the Americans were unique and special in that respect. You didn't go to Australia, though, you said. You didn't go to Australia.
Unfortunately, no.
Did you hear people say the same about Australia, maybe?
No, Australia was different. They were made welcome there. I told you, how I didn't go to Australia. I took the first passage home. Mm. But the people that did go, the other half of the ship's company that went to Australia, they came home with glowing accounts of the time they've had. And since then, friends of mine who were out in Australia during the last war, how they were feted and looked after there by the Aussies.
And can I just ask you one more thing on this general business of being away on foreign service or on foreign stations, foreign ports? You mentioned that you spent time when the ship was being refitted in Colombo, in the barracks at Colombo. Were the barracks the same? Were naval barracks pretty much the same
wherever you were? Oh, these soldiers' barracks, these were.
Oh, this was soldiers'
barracks.
There's no naval barracks. No. Well, first of all, are the naval barracks in any of... Well, were the naval barracks in any of these foreign stations?
No.
There wasn't?
There was no naval... there was just a naval depot in Malta, for instance.
Yeah. Well,
the St. Angelo, Fort St. Angelo.
That's right. Yeah.
That was... I was up there for 2 days when I went to join the Iron Duke, and then I was lent up there for a couple of weeks, getting ready for the fleet's ports.
Uh-huh.
But that was just a small nucleus,
yes,
ship's company there.
And can I just ask you, the soldiers' barracks in Colombo, was life different in a soldiers' barracks than it was in the naval barracks? Did you notice anything, or is it possible to draw comparisons?
Well, actually, you couldn't compare them, because the Echelon barracks in Colombo, it was the Ceylon Light Infantry, I think, were there. There wasn't, I don't remember any British soldiers there.
Mm.
And we lived more or less apart from there. And we just had a couple of barrack rooms there. And we lived in there. And I don't remember how we went on for food. But we were more or less isolated from the troops there.
From the troops, you were, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you didn't have much...
No, it was just a spare place that they put us from the time being because the ship was refitting and you couldn't live in the ship.
Yeah, and you weren't subject to naval discipline any more than you'd been accustomed to.
Oh, no, we were under had our own officers there. Oh, not that they lived, I don't think they lived there. They lived out in a hotel or somewhere.
Well, can I just pick up a couple of things, Mr. Glux, that I missed doing before? And one of them concerns, you mentioned there you went to Gibraltar. You were loaned to the barrack for St. Angelo prior to Sports Day. And can we talk for a minute or two about sports days and sports in the Navy and things like regattas and so on? How important a feature of the life was...
Well, it was the regatta was a great thing because it's only once a year, but everybody is practicing and training for it for at least 3 months before it comes off. And that, of course, it means everybody that's taken part in it are keeping fit. And then there's the others, the self-made bookmakers, all working out their books on it. And there's so many boats that take part in it, right from the launch. I forget how many men you have in the launch, but four men on an oar there, the huge launch they have. There's four men on each oar there. They have a launches race, and it's just like one of those galleys, you know, where they have the galley slaves in. And when you see them all four on a... And they're sitting on hammocks to... Got hammocks on the thwarts to keep them up high. When you see them going on, it is a real treat. Now, you start off, it takes 2 days normally, the regatta, and everything else is pushed aside. And say, right, for 3 months at least before that, everybody is away training. They have gigs races for, we'll say, the band, the artisan's gig, the officer's gig. There's about 10 different gigs races. And then there's the whaler's races, all for different departments, skiffs. As the officers, they have a skiffs race as well. And they have it the same as you do at Henley, you know, with the rudderless pairs sort of thing. And they start off in the morning and they...
Which day do they hold this on, actually? Which day is it held on, usually? Or which... Does it vary around?
No, it's 2 days.
2 days?
Yes.
And which... Are they the certain time of the year, or does it just happen...
Well, normally in the summer.
In the summer?
Yes.
Yeah, wherever ships are together alongside...
Wherever the fleet is, yes.
The fleet is, right,
yeah. We have had it at Malta. Oh, of course, that's the Mediterranean. That will nearly always be at Malta. At home, we've had it up at, what's that island up, Scotland? Had it off there once. We nearly got drowned there. Oh, I'll tell you the name of that in a minute. But everything stops for it. They have a tote that is an official one. And then the bookies, they usually have their blackboard up there on the... All the prices.
Yeah.
And really a fine affair it is.
What were you saying, first thing in the morning then? What was it you said?
I should say at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, the first race. And there, as one finishes, there's another one being towed up to the... all the boats are towed up to either the mile buoy or the 2 mile buoy. Some races, skips races, for instance, half a mile. The others, a mile. And then you get the 2 mile races, cutters and that. You have seamen's cutters, then you have the open cutters where anybody, it doesn't matter who they are, make up the crews. Mm-hmm. And the I've been in a gigs crew and whalers crew mostly. I always gave the cutters a wide berth. I never did like those great big ash oars and the
too heavy.
Yes, I didn't like them at all. But the others, I mean, a whaler's oar or a gig's oar, what were they ever? Anything from 11 feet, is it, up to about 14?
14, perhaps. Yes.
And the you go away, we say, in a fleet. You've got all the battleships. If you're on a battleship, well, then you... If you're in a... Like I would be in the artisan's gig, probably, there'd be just those six battleships. There'd be six boats in that race. And then all the ships are in two lines so that you come down between them and usually finish up at the flagship. And when you're up there, you're lined up, there's a... A picket boat with a 3-pounder on it, that is the starting gun, and you're all up there trying to edge a bit there, and the fellow with the megaphone is shouting out, back iron juke, up and bow up, just like a race course, get them all up in line, and then the gun goes and off you go. And by the time you've pulled a mile in a sea like that, believe me, I think about the Oxford and Cambridge crews, they pull for 20 minutes. But you're pulling for 20 minutes, they're doing further, we know, but they've only got a cockle shell to pull. But you've got a 1,500 weight boat, and there's five of you there. And by the time you've finished, when you're this part of the way, you're pulling blindly. The sweat is blinding you, you've got a band tied round your head. There's the coxswain calling you all sorts of names, and you're thrashing along automatically. And believe me, when you finish, you're sick. And you're really down and out.
How much training do you have for that? How much?
About 3 months, morning and night. And also, I used to get up on quarter deck for PT. And these exercises, you try that. Because after you pulled an oar for a little while, if you haven't had any of that, your hands get numb. But you stand up there for hours doing this, and then when you go away, you start off a short distance, and then longer and longer until you get over the mile, and then you have sort of interships races, so that the bookies and you yourself, you know which is the fastest crews out of the lot. And you can see these fellas for all these 3 months, every evening and every morning, up with their binoculars on a stopwatch, timing them. It's great fun. And I can remember the first time when I was in the Iron Juke, there was a Benbow. They hadn't been beaten for 6 years. They had a West Country crew, the Duffos, we called them. Hadn't been beaten at all. And our stroke oar, he was a great big fellow, a shipwright who'd won the skiff's race, was it the skiff's race in Portsmouth Harbour when they had the regattas there. A great oarsman he was, and he could pull a boat on himself. And coming down the course, there was the Benbow. We'd got past every other boat. They were drifting a bit. And there was the Benbow. And there's Bill Ferry. He was the stroke oar. He wasn't the coxswain. And he was saying, look at them. Look at them. A family of oarsmen. Never been beaten. But they're going to be beaten this time. Now, Dean, stand by, boys. Stand by. For a spurt. Then you give them a spurt. And we beat the Benbows. The first time we've been for 6 years, and I always remember, as you come alongside, the band was up there playing the Conquering Heroes. And on this occasion, the Admiral was so delighted that he made us all go down to his cabin and have a drink. No, I went down there and had a port with him. Yeah. But the...
That was unusual, was it, to go there?
Yes, it was. Yes. Because, and there was another occasion when the Iron Duke lost every race out of all the ships the first day. I remember that.